What's up, everybody? Welcome back to TikTok by the Investing Circle, the personal finance site that just makes sense. Today, we have the very important question of what can you actually buy with $88,000? And actually, the list is pretty long. A nice luxury car in cash, a hefty down payment on a home, an extravagant trip somewhere, a year off of work, a lot of stocks. Seriously, the list could go on. Yet you're still short for a medical procedure, or in some cases, a hospital stay for a bacterial infection. I recently had neck surgery and had an itemized bill of over $88,000, ranging from the room in the hospital for half a day, the procedure itself, and items such as saline solution, which is salt water, essentially. Fortunately, I have insurance and only had to pay $3,000 for the minimally invasive procedure. Fortunately, I also have a good W-2 job with passive income that I can afford to pay that. That $3,000 also doesn't count the physical therapy, the procedures I have had to attempt prior to surgery, and all the other doctor appointments equating to over $5,000 over 3 years. Combined, that's an FHA down payment on a home in a friendlier interest environment. Realistically, for most, $3,000 is a medical emergency that will push the majority of Americans into unrelenting debt if they're not already there. Almost 61% of Americans in some sort of medical debt owe more than $1,000, and 71% of those owe it to hospitals. What's even more challenging when you're handed a bill that is higher than the median household annual income is the fact that it's pretty complicated to figure out how you got billed this amount, what you have to pay, and most importantly, why. The federal government tried to provide a little more transparency, and in 2021 forced hospitals to start posting the amounts they negotiate with private insurers. Hospitals tried fighting back, stating it would undermine competitive negotiations, which realistically isn't really a competitive free marketplace. We'll dive into this a bit in the next one. Here we are now, and there are still many hospitals and organizations that have clearly ignored the requirement. Well, it is kind of better, isn't it? Not really. With new diagnosis codes, procedural codes, which are known as CPT codes, and a shift towards value-based models, quality over quantity, essentially, you would think that it would improve. We should see less patient confusion. With a quick Google search, you can find numerous ways to understand how healthcare reimbursement works, and at face value, it seems pretty self-explanatory. Healthcare providers negotiate rates, then performs procedures. They bill multiples of the allowable amount, primarily for in-network providers. Patient pays their portion, co-payment, co-insurance, or deductible. Patient recovers, probably not financially, and the hospital keeps on chugging. At a high level, this does make sense, a process you can follow as a patient. As you read that, though, there are probably some terms in there you're not familiar with or don't understand what an in-network provider is. Don't feel bad. That's the majority of Americans. The health insurance situation is kind of like a leftover salmon, really. It's not all bad, just needs a little work. There are a lot of benefits to having health insurance in this current environment, including an out-of-pocket maximum, the total amount you'll pay no matter how much covered care you get, reduced costs once you meet your deductible. Marketplace plans can cover 60 to 90% of your medical expenses once you meet your deductible. No yearly or lifetime limits. Marketplace plans can't put dollar limits on how much they'll spend each year. Now, just like leftover salmon, the bad part, the smell when you reheat it, is pretty bad and lasts forever. Clearly, there is not truly a free competitive marketplace for insurance, and as the end user, we can feel that. With a lack of true competition in insurance, the pharma market is similar. There isn't much to push costs down. Instead of universal healthcare, maybe we should start taking a look at our health insurance structure first and actually allow capitalism and competition to erode healthcare costs. That's all I got for everybody today. If you have any questions or comments, please leave them in the comment section below. If you have any ideas on what you'd like to hear next, please let us know. If you're interested in earning some ad revenue on the site and becoming an author, go ahead to theinvestingcircle.com and sign up. Hope you all have a great rest of your Friday. See ya.